Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memories.
Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I
long
once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we go to your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, Father, and take us into the truth and the depths, and reveal to us, Father, the mysteries that has been hid from those that are walking in darkness. Guide us now, Father. Stay with us throughout the service this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be taking a look this evening at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because we are living in the last days. We don't know how close, but we do know that it is closer than what mankind is thinking about, according to the way he acts. Because for the most part, mankind's really not thinking about the Lord at all. They're walking contrary to his word in most of our churches. And those that are not in church just don't think about him at all. And yet they're walking in fear. They've got fear of what's happening. They got fear of this covert. And they're even now talking about another pandemic of it coming. They're afraid of that. Do you know, if they'd get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, they wouldn't be walking in so much fear. Because he don't give us fear. Because when we are born again, we know that regardless of what happens, he is there to take care of us. And whether he leaves us here and uses us in his work for a while, or whether he takes us home, we still don't have to walk in fear. Because actually, to go home and be with him is a lot better than anything we've got here or will ever have here. But you see, man's not using God's word to live his life. He's on his own for the most part. You know, right now, I heard this morning, where they took statistics. Of those that claim to be Christian is all that really has got their faith and trust in God.
That's a little bit.
6%. You know, got any lower than that, we wouldn't have anybody. 60% of those that are in church don't really believe in the Lord coming back. Now that's getting bad, but we all know that because as we get around out here, we know we're not finding too many that believes in Jesus at all. The last couple of mornings, I'm sharing this with you before I get into the scripture, because this is something that I just found out about this morning. It was put out. I was listening to a Jewish rabbi, and he was talking about the Jewish religion, now not their Christianity, but their religion, the Jewish religion. They believe that there is a man living in every generation that is the Messiah. And that if the Jews will get religious enough, he'll make himself known and set up as their king, because they don't believe that Jesus is their king. Well, we're getting about the same way here in our land, other than they're really not believing in anything, only themselves and what they want, and to bring in socialism, to make every dollar they can make. And that's a shame. And one day they're going to find out just how wrong they are. But you know, in a sense of the word, we are having some that are waking up and really we have kind of a type of revival going on now. Most don't realize that because they don't keep up with what is happening around us. But I have been seeing several pastors that a few years back I wouldn't sit under and listen to, that are now preaching the true word of God. Their lives has changed. And they are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been strictly reborn. And they are reaching a lot of people. And we need to be at work, each and every one of us. If you are a born-again child of God, you need to be at work with Jesus, working for him and having him work through you to get his work done so that he will return. Because, you know, we don't know when that'll be, but he does. We don't know what he's waiting on, but he does. And right now we need to be glad he is still waiting, because we have a lot of family and a lot of friends that are still walking in darkness, that are lost, that will not make heaven their home. They'll be making their seat in hell and then end up in that lake of fire. I don't want to see none of my family there. I don't want to see my children there. I don't want to see my grandchildren there. I don't want to see my great-grandchildren there. You see, I'm old enough. I've got some of all. And I know they're good people, but yet they are not his people. And I know that quite a few of them is going to miss heaven. So I need to still be here for a while to do what I can do to see if we can't get some light, and that being Jesus, to some of them. All right. Here in this chapter 3, in this verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." We've been warned right here. The perilous times are coming. We know why that perilous times is, because the last verse actually of chapter 2 gives us kind of a guideline. And it tells us, it says, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." But you see, he doesn't have any power to make you accept anything. We choose to accept what he will bring. He'll hit us with it. But we, as God's children, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the power to reject anything Satan will bring our way. But a lot of times we don't do it. You see, he hasn't got the power to make you accept it. He just used things to deceive and put there before you. And we're seeing people even today that are being healed by the power of the Lord. It's happening. So we know that God is still at work here on this earth. He hasn't quit working. He has not stopped loving you and I, nor has he stopped loving mankind. But the reason we're not seeing more of it is because they are not rejecting things that Satan is setting up that will drag them away from God and from his blessings. We need to be very aware of those things. And through these first four verses of chapter 3, I read you verse 1. Now verse 2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Those four verses are covering an awful lot of things that we are seeing today. And you know, when we talk about the last days, well, the last days began with the birth of Christ. That's why he came. And so he could give man something better, in which he did. Those that were under the law really could not give them salvation. The law could not really give them a way to live righteously. And they were more or less out there on their own. And they were not keeping the law. And the Lord was not pleased with that. But he loved us enough, mankind enough, for Jesus to be sent here, born as a babe. And he was born as human. He had a fleshly mother. The Holy Spirit was his father. But you know, when we really stop and think about it, who is our father? People can ask me, "Well, who was your father?" Well, my dad, when I was born, was George Tony. But was he truly my father? No. God put me in that womb. He's the one that put that spirit, that life, in that womb. He used a man and a woman to come together. But it was he that put the life there. These are things we don't think about and till we get deep into the Word of Almighty God. But then, as Christ grew, he grew up here just like we did. His earthly dad, Joseph, was a carpenter. Jesus learned a carpentry work. But he knew he still had to do his father's work. But have you ever really stopped to think about why it was that he was 30 years old before he started his ministry? Most don't. They don't even think about it, let alone understand it. But he lived those 30 years here on this earth without a sin, showing you and I that it can be done. He was an example. His life was an example for you and I. And when you study it, he was tested in all ways like us. And he did not have that power within him any more than any other man, except he knew what he was here for. But then, when he was baptized at the age of 30 by John, he was also then filled with the Holy Spirit and with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what he has given to those of us that will walk with him in the Spirit, in obedience, and by the Word, being obedient, even unto death when required. And when that is accomplished in our lives, we can do the same thing he was doing. He himself tells us that. He tells us that in the Gospels. Then we're told that in several other places. But he says, all that believe in me, not one or two or just special ones, he said, all that believe in me, these things I do, they will do, and greater than these will they do. And he told us why. He said, because I go to the Father. He went back to the Father to send the Holy Spirit back to you and I. Because without the Holy Spirit, without the Lord Jesus Christ living in us, and the Holy Spirit living in us, we can do nothing. But with them, we can do all things. There's nothing impossible for us. Because you see, it's not us doing it, really. It's them. When we go to the Lord to repent for the forgiveness of our sins, we are also to dedicate our lives to him, to give our lives to him, and let him know, Lord, come into my life. Come in and live with me. Take my life. It's yours. Live it through me. But very few do that. Most don't even know about doing it. But even though among those that do know, very few will actually do it and mean it. Because when you tell God something, you've got to tell him in truth and honesty for it to happen. Now, you see, now this church age will come to a close when Christ comes back for the church. Because see, once he takes the church out of this world, there's no churches left here. They're gone. That is all over with. There's a lot of them out there that look at the coming of the Lord for the church in different ways. There are those out there that believe and teach that he's going to come before tribulation. There are some believe that he is going to come about halfway through tribulation. And there are some that believe that he's coming for the church after tribulation. The word gives us when he's coming for the church. Most just don't see it, but it's there. He tells us that when tribulation starts, he'll be coming for his church in 42 months. That's 3.5 years. That's halfway between. Because there's still 42 months of tribulation to go. Tribulation period is counted as 7 years. And let me tell you something. With the things that's going on now, we are getting awfully close to the time the tribulation's going to be starting. When you will really get into God's word and spend time in it and research what Revelation tells you to watch for, you can see that it's not for all. Because we see what's happening out there now. But that's when that final time of the last days will end, will be when he comes for the church, whenever that is. The main thing is, we're not to argue about those things and all. We bring out what we get from God's word. But the main thing is for each one of us to be ready for it if it happens in our lifetime. And if not, be ready to meet Jesus when you step out of this life and into the next. That's all we need to be concerned about. And to do that, to be ready, as we was reading here a while ago through those first four verses, we don't want to have any of those in our life. So sit down. Get to yourself, you and Jesus, and make sure that he takes all of those things. Take the scripture with you and go to him in prayer and tell him, Lord, take all the covetousness out of me. Take all of this loving of myself out of me. Father, take all this boasting out of me. Take this pride, Father. You see, go to him in his word, and you'll find that it will work. And go on down through all of it. Get rid of all of it. Because he tells us, here in verse 5 now, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We're to come away from that. Stay away from it. Stay out of those churches that are teaching contrary to the ways of God. Leave them alone. And we need to be spreading the gospel of Jesus. Yes, talk to everyone about Jesus. Don't argue with them. Don't hold debates with them. But tell them. And then walk off. And leave it between them and God. Because those that really want to listen to it and that is going to take heed to any part of it will let you know as you're talking to them. They'll let you know. Now, verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. In other words, they're going to be deceivers. You see, they'll captivate them by deception. And that's not all for them. When you have all these other things in you, he tells us here in 7, he says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know why that is? They had maybe taken the first step. They maybe went to Jesus and asked him for forgiveness. But it wasn't really from the heart. But because they had been told, well, if you go to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins, no, he did it, and you're saved. But you see, there's more to it than that. Was you honest with him when you asked all of this? Was you really honest and concerned and really wanted your life changed? Because if you wasn't, then nothing happened. And that's why you can sit down and study this Bible from now on and never understand any part of it. And it tells you that. As Janes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. The reprobate concerning the faith. You see, Janes and Jambres was the two king's magicians that tried to mock Moses. We know how that turned out. They got part of it done, but you see, it just wouldn't last, because when they threw theirs down and they turned in to serpents, Moses' serpent ate them up. Done away with them. Verse 9. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. When we're not honest with God and honest with the Spirit, that's what happens. It turns into being just mockery, a folly. Verse 10. Now, Paul's giving us an example here. As he was writing to Timothy, he's, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. He said, you've known all this about me. You know me. 11, he says, persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And we all know that when you become that born-again child of God, you are going to face these things. But Paul lets us know right here. He said, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Whatever will come against you once you have been and become that born-again child of God, the Lord will come and lead you out. He'll deliver you out of it. Now, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see, they're deceiving because they've been deceived. And as long as they are deceiving, they'll continue to be deceived. But you know, there is a way out. Verse 14. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In other words, there's a way out. But be assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Make sure of those that you are accepting things from. Make sure they are what they are supposed to be. That they are a child of God, born again, walking with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And salvation only comes through Jesus. It's the only way we can get it. There's no other way. And then we have to accept that by, you see, when you have strong faith, you also have knowledge. Because strong faith is in knowing. I know Jesus lived. I've got no doubt in my heart that Jesus did not come to this earth. I've got no doubt in my heart that Jesus didn't grow up here walking as we walked. I have no doubt that he didn't keep what his Father sent him to do. I have no doubt that he didn't take all of my sins, all of my sicknesses, all of my diseases to the cross with him, because his word told me he did. So I have no doubt about that. Most can't say that because they do have doubts. They'll say, they'll even go to the Lord in prayer and tell the Lord, you know, I know Jesus was here. I know he's your son. I know he died on the cross. I know he saves us from sin and all. Then they raise up, and the next thing you know, they're thinking in their minds, but you know, I don't feel any different. Maybe he's just not going to do it for me. He's not a respecter of persons. He said he'd do it for everybody. Everybody that would come in sincerity and in honesty. He's not going to reject you. If you met him with sincerity and honesty, he's not going to reject you. But if you start thinking, and I know there was a time in my life that I done that. There was a lot of times I'd go to the Lord in prayer in my early days. I'd go to the Lord in prayer and pray about it. And I think, well, you know, it's done. I'd go on about my business. Next thing you know, well, you know, something's wrong. It ain't working. What have I done? Or what is it I ain't done? That he ain't doing his work. Well, it wasn't him. It's me. I was blocking it. But it took a while for me to learn that. And a lot of doings, too, also. Now, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He's telling you right there. You can live for the Lord, but you're going to suffer persecution. Jesus did. Paul did. But the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is there to bring you through it and to keep you from sin as you come through it. Now, that's why we need the Holy Spirit. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. All right. 14. No, I done 14. 15. I done that also. Now, 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Now, they have taken this verse, the 16th verse, in a lot of our places, a lot of our churches, and made changes to suit themselves. Because they said, see, that's why we've got the word. Now we can reprove it. We can make corrections in it. No, it's for my correction. Not for me to correct the word. It's for my correction, for my reproof. And then it's for me to use this word as my doctrine. It's like people will ask me, they'll say, well, what doctrine do you teach? I don't teach any man-made doctrine. I teach the doctrine of the apostles. The apostles' doctrine. This is what I teach. Now, we'll end with this next verse. All of this, once we can learn all of this, and we've got this, then we know, just as 17 tells us, that the man of God may be perfect throughout, or thoroughly rather, furnished unto all good works. He tells us so many times in so many ways about being perfect. But what he's talking about is a spiritual perfection and doing what we're supposed to be doing. And that's where most are failing. All right. Remember now, we're all be back together again Sunday morning. Do you want to teach Sunday morning?
Yeah.
You know, you've got to get in, you got to get, keep your, you got to keep your feet wet. Because there's still things coming for you. For one, you got to get where you get a little louder. It's hard to hear you. Well, they seemed awful concerned about us. My awful soul. But anyway. All right. So, Kenny, Brother Dennis will be taking Sunday morning services for us. Let us close out now and go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for the time that we can come together with your word, Father, to search your word, to learn, Father, how to walk closer and closer each and every day with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Take out of us, Father, everything that needs to be taken out so that we do not deceive anyone about anything. That what we teach, what we will tell others, Father, will come to us through and by the Holy Spirit. Always being true. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask you to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And once again, Father, this young child, 5 years old, their father in Florida, that was in that wreck. Be with their father. Watch over. Keep her out of pain, Father. She's in your hands. Now, Father, be with her. And all the rest of us, Father. Because even though we have some that are not sick that way, they're not walking as they should walk. Work with our families, Father. And Father, touch Kenny. Work with him, Father. I'm praying for this diabetes to be cleared. Clear it, Father. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him back in health, Father, and use him in great and mighty ways. Dennis, Father. Dennis has a job. He's a working man. But he also loves the Lord Jesus. Use him on the job, Father, as well as giving him guidance and instructions in the ministry. Make him into what you want him to be, Father. Make him strong in faith. And in your word. For myself, you know what I've been asking for days. And I know it's coming about. Just never let me forget it. Never let me put myself between it. Keep me humble, Heavenly Father. Take all pride out of me. Jerry needs your touch, Father. He needs that healing touch. Man done what he could do for him. Father, may the Holy Spirit work with him. Let him know what is needed and bring him around, Father. Put him back to work. And Father, for my wife, she seemed to be so much better this day when I saw her. Now, Father, continue that healing power with her. Continue restoring her mind. Bring her back home to be with me, to work with me in this ministry, Father, using her in great and mighty ways. She does love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, that has been growing worse day by day, Father, we do see your work going on in it. And we're praying for that to continue and bring about a large awakening, a large revival, Father, so that many more will be able to find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and be saved before it's too late. Now keep us all, Father. Keep us all in the hollow of your hand. And Father, the land that has walked so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ, taking him out of every place he was in. Help us to all work together to bring this land to repentance, Father, so it can be healed and that our government can be put back upon the foundation of which it was founded, and that foundation being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for Sue and David, for Karen, for Amy, for husband Tom, their son Jacob, we lift them up, Father, and ask the Holy Spirit to be with them, to keep them in faith, keep them strong, and bring them closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, keep us all now safe through these next days. Bring us together again Sunday morning, once again back into your word together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, give thanks to him.